Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday on lockdown three, day one. Only 20 to go, eh? Here are the test numbers as of 5 to 5 yesterday in the Isle of Man. We had 33,355 tests, 33,315 of which were concluded. 40 people waiting results, 210 people waiting tests. We have 58 active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. 3 people currently in Nobles Hospital. And the vaccination dashboard is showing 23,429 vaccinations having taken place, 15,717 first dose administered, 7,712 second dose administered, and we're currently holding 11,698 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. And hopefully racing forward on day one.
We do not want to be in and out of lockdowns and circuit breaks. We have gone in hard and fast, and this has worked. We decided that we want to do the same again. We have therefore decided that we will be heading into a further circuit break from 1 minute past midnight tonight. So for clarity, the first minute of Wednesday, we will be putting in place and legalising for a set of clear measures. We will be doing this as we did the last time, for a period of 21 days. We will review this constantly, and as before, we will only keep measures in place for as long as we judge them necessary.
That was the Chief Minister yesterday. We're in it, we're on day one, and hopefully it'll whiz by. Hopefully it will anyway. Here's Fenella, first of all. Hello, good afternoon, Fenella.
Good afternoon. I've just my husband's just told me that they actually threw away 50 vaccinations last night.
Well, 15 coronavirus vaccines ended up going to waste in a week, in a single week last month as well.
He said 50 were thrown away.
Well, that was just 1 week. We don't know how many others have gone to waste during various weeks at the moment.
But don't you think that they should have a list of, if anybody would like to go on a list, that they would be able to drop everything and come and get an injection?
Well, up until now, there's not been a list of people who'd be available to go at short notice.
No, they haven't, yeah, but I'm sure if they asked for one, they'd get one.
Oh, crikey, I bet it'd be like clerks when you go in and get a ticket to go and buy shoes, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's what it would be like. And I do think, you know, it's such a waste, isn't it? And it's, you know, they could have done those people and then they'd have been done. And they'd just have to wait for their second one.
But it seems strange that there are a lot of people who desperately want a vaccine and will be perfectly prepared, if you like, to go on the standby list.
Yes. Well, I think that. I would put my husband on a standby list because he's not getting done until till six. But I think there are a lot of people who would definitely go on a standby list because it would be done and over with then, wouldn't it?
Well, nobody likes to see anything go to waste, and particularly in this circumstance as well.
Well, no, I think it's terrible.
Okay. All right, for now.
Bye.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. It's 11 minutes past 12. This is the story that 15 coronavirus vaccines ended up going to waste in a single week last month. It was because there just wasn't a list of people who'd be available to go to a hub at short notice if doses were left over. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. Helen, hello, Helen.
Hello. Hi, what? I was just wondering, the construction workers have had to go back to work, which is fine. But I've been round a few, had a look at a few, and there doesn't seem to be any safe distancing, no masks, people in and out of site huts, loads of them. I mean, even the one in the street, they're all like not doing any that they should be.
Whereabouts have you seen it?
Well, there's been the street one and there's down south, and it hasn't improved. And I just thought maybe now we were supposed to implement these measures. It would be, but it isn't. It's just the same as it was last week.
Well, let's hope they're supposed to be. Certainly, there should be social distancing.
No. No mask, right. No nothing. I mean, I've seen it, so I know it's true, and okay. It's just silly.
All right.
It's not, because, you know, they're all mixing, and it's just not going to help, is it?
Well, we're all hoping that this is going to be the last lockdown, Helen.
Yes, yes. Well, but let's hope so. But it's not going to be if people don't do their thing, their bit.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Helen.
Okay, thank you.
It's good to talk to you. I want to go to Val now. Hello, Val.
Hello. Just a quick one. If you listen to 9 o'clock Manx News this morning, they now have a list of people who are willing to go when they have spare vaccine.
Oh, do they?
So you didn't listen to the news, did you?
Oh, I'm just too busy at that time in the morning, Val.
Okay,
you see,
thanks very much.
I rely on people like you. Thank you, Val, for that. Brian's with us as well. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hi, Brian, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I tell you what it's on about, the vaccines and that. I've been from 9 o'clock this morning trying to get in touch with somebody to cancel mine. And what a job I'm having. I'm still haven't got through yet.
When are you due to go, Brian?
On Saturday morning. Saturday noon.
Okay. And is there a reason you can't go?
I got a chest infection.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so...
And which number have you been calling?
All three of them. I started off on the 999 and they put me through to option 1, 2, and 3, that was the 3 I referred to. And also, they give me a number, which I'm still not getting anywhere.
Is that 1-686-262?
Hold on, I got it wrote down here.
Or 111?
I got 686-262.
That's it, 686-262.
That's the C terminal, that.
have you got through to anybody at that number?
No.
But nobody's answered the phone.
On the 686, what is it? 262. The C terminal come and answer it.
Oh, good grief! And can't they transfer you?
No, they can't help me. I'm only trying to cancel it so that somebody else can get mine.
Well, let's hope it all gets done and keep us informed of that. Thanks for calling us today. Let's go to... thank you, Brian, for that. Tim, hello, Tim.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. What's on your mind?
I just listened to the lady that was doing the roving reporting of the building sites, to be truthful with you. And I think we need to sort of try and set the record straight. I'm in the building trade. I've been to two sites today, one that is very, very local in Douglas. And I have to say, all my men, all the main contractors are very, very, very vigilant. You have your temperature taken, you're clocked onto the site. You have to wear gloves, you have to wear masks, and you have to wear a hat, which is all the correct PPE that you need to be wearing. And I've been to another site at the bottom of the tree, shall we say, and they're exactly the same because everybody wants to continue working. Everybody wants to keep bringing money into the household. And the last thing they want to do is be caught by people or to catch something or have the sites shut down. That's the last thing that we want to have done through some idiotic behaviour. So I would suggest that most of the sites, including all the sites I've visited today, which is part of my job to visit them, are absolutely complying. It would be silly after halfway through day one that the people were being caught not complying with what is essentially an absolute that they've got to do.
So, Tim, I mean, part of your job is to go around and check that people are observing the rules.
No. Part of my job is to go to site, and during that, my guys are seen to be observing the rules.
Right.
I make sure that my guys are observing the rules. I haven't got to go to all the sites. That's not the case. I have guys on different sites as subcontractors, and they're all observing the rules.
So how seriously are they taking this, Tim?
They're taking it absolutely. They have been doing since the last lockdown. You still get your temperature taken. We've still been getting our temperatures taken, full stop. Obviously, now we've got to wear face coverings and such like. We have to wear gloves anyway as part of your PPE on a site. You're not allowed on the site without boot, hats, gloves, etc. But, yeah, everybody is being as vigilant as they possibly can. I cannot vouch for what the lady said, guys on the street. They say if you can't socially distance, you don't have to. If you can't socially distance, if you look at the government recommendations, they say that you have to keep as far apart as possible, keep your heads away from each other, but you've got masks on, etc., 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 because some tasks you can't physically carry out some tasks by being more than 2 metres apart.
So obviously, if the lady saw people who she thought weren't self-isolating, social distancing, the rule is you don't always have to because there are some tasks that can't be done like that.
That's right. They should have face coverings on. I mean, that's pretty reckless if they haven't. And to be truthful with you, that's not. It's always the minority that spoils it for the majority of the people. And we all want to keep working. That's the last thing we want to do is to be shut down. The absolute the last thing that we want to do.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm glad to set the record straight, Tim. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir. Thank
no,
you.
No, not at all. So let's go back to that story then about the fact there were 15 coronaviruses that went to waste. Well, it's all changed. There is a list of reserves now being made available every day. But the Ramsey MHK, one of the Ramsey MHKs, Laurie Hooper, raised the issue at this week's Keys sitting. He just reckons it should have been happening already.
It's inevitable that one or two doses are going to go missing every week. I think that's kind of goes without saying. But the bit that was very surprising for me is where they have admitted that actually in the week of the 15th of February, they had to dispose of 15 doses because they couldn't find 15 people willing to come to Chester Street for the vaccination. That's the words they used, which I find extremely bizarre. They've now put in place a trial system, apparently, to have people on like a reserve list by the sound of things. I would have thought that would have been up and running anyway. I mean, at this point, we keep hearing from the department that the biggest restrictive factor of getting the vaccine out into people is that we don't have enough vaccine. So I would have thought that if they are in a situation where they find they've got even a handful of doses going spare, that they would be doing everything within their power to get people to go to the vaccination hubs to get vaccinated, even if they aren't necessarily inside one of the vulnerable phase one groups. So it almost seems like the easiest option has been, well, it's administratively complicated for us to do that, so instead we're just going to dispose of them. It doesn't feel to me to be the right answer.
15 doses they've referenced. I mean, would you agree to just pulling people off the street just to get a dose and a jab in the arm?
Yeah, I think to some extent, I think yes, I would, actually. I think you've got to expect a certain level, and they've mentioned this in the answer, that one or two doses a week tend to go by the wayside because of the complexities of getting everything organised. I completely appreciate that. No system is going to be perfect. But actually, when they realised that in that week they had a number of doses going spare, I mean, what is wrong with just saying these are completely unexpected, they're spare, we have to give them to somebody? I would much rather them be given to somebody, even if it is like you say, pulling somebody random off the street, than just throwing them away. It just seems like an absolute waste.
You've obviously got this information now. What would you like to see happen imminently, I guess, to stop this from happening again?
They seem to have put in a place, a system now, where they talk about putting in a protocol to have this kind of reserve list of people who could be brought forward, who could be vaccinated and have any spares going forward. So now it seems like they've fixed the problem, but it's a problem that should never have arisen in the first place. So if they actually put a bit more thought into planning what they're doing, they wouldn't have had this problem, we wouldn't have had the question, we wouldn't have had this quite strange answer where they're admitting to throwing away vaccines.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. And if you're going on to the standby list, just give us a call or text or email, just say how easy it is to get onto that standby list. The 111 service was having an awful lot of calls earlier on today, so they only want people with COVID symptoms to call as well. That story about the families of pupils in Year 7 at St Ninian's Lower School, a.k.a. Bemmerhaig, and Years 3 and 4 at Ballasalla Primary School, as well as teaching and support staff at Ballasalla, continuing to self-isolate and wait to be contacted by COVID 111. But obviously they're getting up to speed with that as well. The news about the tips, everybody's worried about the tips. The southern site is closed, as is the northern site. Western and eastern remain open, but there are restrictions and the reuse bays are closed as well. And if you go into the tip, the amenity site, make sure you have a face covering and observe social distancing rules as well. The briefing, 4 o'clock today. So if you want to have a listen, AM and FM, also it'll be available on our YouTube channel and on a Facebook channel. There will be a live blog as well for the hard of hearing, or if you can't listen, as a live blog, and it will also be available as a podcast after that. Jane just said, if Ballyshalla School is closed because of corona, why send children to Port St Mary? Surely that will actually spread it more. Anne dropped me a note, and you'll get the sense of what Anne means here. I just want to say the third lockdown has made me angry, not because of the government and those who whine, but because of the selfish so-called human who brought it onto the island. The lockdown could have been avoided if this selfish idiot, friends and family self-isolated and fessed up when they had symptoms. It's not the government's fault that selfish fools deliberately think it's okay if I just nip out. I'm fuming, says Anne. Not our government, who worked round the clock on the virus as well. Somebody else just said, I like many are blaming the government for this lockdown. They refused to close the border. They knew a group of people who'd left the island and came back with no check. Every person coming to the island has to be checked in the UK before they travel, no matter who they are. No test, no travel, says Graham as well. So thank you for that as well. Bruce said, Andy, I've just had a chat with the DHSC. They put me on the 10-person standby list. I have a car and come here to Vax Centre in 30 minutes if called. The government said that they do have a last-minute call-in list, but it's only open to those who've already been invited to register their interest in the vaccine and have a priority number. If you've registered, they said, they can ask to be added to the list. So let's find out exactly how easy it is to get on that standby list as well. A message in from Peter just said, Andy, could you clarify a situation for us? It seems to be that people interpret rules differently. We've got an elderly neighbour who has a man friend. He doesn't live with her, but he lives in a different part of the island. He's visiting her at the moment, and I wonder if this is right. We understand that people from different households shouldn't mix. Well, that's true. They shouldn't mix. And if they both have had their vaccines, would this make any difference or not? And John's with us now. Hello, John.
Hello, it's John here. I'm calling from Guernsey.
Hello.
Hello. I'm originally from the Isle of Man. I've been following the situation back home very, very closely. I have to say that I'm ashamed by the lack of leadership and direction, especially over the weekend when we decided not to implement social distancing or masks. We now find ourselves in another situation of lockdown. I think that's awful. And you know, looking from afar, it's kind of embarrassing, especially when you look how quickly Guernsey implemented their lockdown social distancing.
What's the situation in Guernsey at the moment? How many cases are there, John?
So we've moved into stage two. We've got 13 people currently positive COVID-19, no one in hospital. I put them back to swiftly. The government has shown great leadership, and we have full faith in our health minister. The health minister over here is seen as an idol within the community, and unfortunately I think the very, very opposite from the leadership back home.
Well, it was going so well on the Isle of Man, and what do you get the sense of? Why do you think that they were vacillating over the weekend?
Well, I don't understand why they delayed it. Why didn't they just say wear face mask, social distance until we know more? Why would you not do that? I think people's political career might have been tried to preserve. I know Mr. Quayle found himself as a minor celebrity. Maybe he wanted to protect himself there. I don't know. Maybe he was saving face. But his actions have resulted in people being sick. And personally, I know that a lot of people on Facebook agree with me. Someone should resign over this. But anyway, my question is, of the people who are vulnerable and over the age of 70, how many people are still waiting for the letters? Because I've been following your callers, and there seems to be a bit of a backlog. And if there is a backlog, why do we need a backup list for people waiting for the vaccinations? Why do we need this backup list? Because surely there's people who need it. I want my vaccination, but I don't want to have my vaccination before someone who's vulnerable. Because if someone who's vulnerable falls ill now, when you're in lockdown, and you've just failed with the rollout, that would be a terrible situation. I just really hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know whether there are exceptions or not, but I do get lots of messages and emails in from people who are aged over 70 who haven't got a date yet.
Yeah, how can that happen? And why aren't the government releasing the numbers?
We'll see. All right, John, thanks for calling us today.
Thank you very much.
All right, good to talk to you. And we're going to Tony. Hello, Tony.
How you doing, Andy?
Good, thanks, Tony.
Couple of quick things. One, the lady who was on who was complaining about the individual who was selfish is incorrect. That person could have come to the island, walked around, right or wrongly, and been asymptomatic. She needs to understand that you can be asymptomatic, not have any symptoms, and yet you've got the virus and are spreading it. The people in government who are managing this are not doing a very good job. They need to be clearer that we are taking risks every day with asymptomatic people, and we're not doing very much about trying to trace them because we don't know they're there. The second thing I wanted to mention was that the only way you're going to get out of this dilemma is to vaccinate people to a herd immunity level. So I can't understand why the Minister for Health turns around one day and says, yes, we're going to speed everything up. We're going to use all these vaccines to step the doses out. And we still have 11,000 doses sitting on the shelf. And no plan to use them, apparently. But we can waste them. It's not a problem.
Well, it was only 15.
15 people, one who could die. Then it becomes important, doesn't it?
Well, Mr. Ashford has said, apparently, reading between the lines of what he said, there's a lot more coming, apparently. The supply is ramped up, so they're going to be doing a lot more soon.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say, Andy, is he already has 11,000 in stock. He's sitting on them. He has 2,000 people booked. If it's going to happen in 4 weeks, get rid of those 11,000 in the next 2 weeks. That means getting them up and running as soon as possible. Because the more people that have first dose, as has been proved in the UK, the less transmissibility you have. And then you don't have to worry so much about the asymptomatic people who are out in the community. It is in the community.
What's your sense, Tony? Do you think this is going to be our final lockdown?
Well, it depends entirely on how they behave. They haven't come out and said, everybody wear masks, please. Everybody social distance, please. No, nothing like that. And the other thing is that if you look at their information, they sent out a very clear document, a PDF document, said this is our plan of the vaccinations. Then you look at the statistics and you can't make head nor tail of them because the doses that are available are not listed in two different types and they can't be mixed. So they should be clearly marked up. You cannot see how many in each age group have had the first dose and how many have had the second dose. And the age groups are completely different that are listed on that website in little blocks you can hardly read because the print is in white and it should be in black. On that dashboard, if you like to call it, there's loads of information that has no value. So why is it there? It's just to confuse people and say, look what we're doing. They're not doing anything. The information should be exactly the same as the PDF they sent out. Then we can see how they're doing according to plan. And how many people in each of those groups from 1 to 10 are they going to vaccinate? And how many have had the first dose? How many have had the second dose in two different columns, one for AstraZeneca and the other pair for Pfizer? And then you would have a clear shot of what's going on. We don't have clear clarity at all because they don't really want us to have clarity because we ask questions when they give us clarity.
You keep saying that they don't want us to have the clarity, Tony. What specifically? What do you mean by that?
Okay. Go look at the PDF they sent out. This is our plan of action. Priority levels 1 through 10. Very clear, very simple. All they had to do then was take that and say, we've got 22,000 over 80s. We've got so many in this age group, so many in this age group, so many in that age group. And then put against that, how many in that age group, as you go down the list, have been vaccinated with first dose and was it Pfizer or was it AstraZeneca? Instead of that, you've got lots of little circles, dots, things you can hardly read that are not clear. Well, I don't really care.
I think we're on what they're getting to. Is it priority level 4, which is 70 to 74 year olds, clinically extremely vulnerable, they're saying. Now, they reckon that all the letters have been sent by Monday the 1st of March.
Yeah, but I know people that haven't had a letter. I know somebody who's over that age, who's in that age group, has not had a letter and actually is shielding. No letter. And there's not, I'm sure I'm not the only person who knows somebody like that. They need to give us the information instead of trying to tell us everything's all right, which is what they've been doing. And they keep defending this position. And, oh, yeah, but the list of people, how many people in that age bracket have to have an injection? Do we know? No. Is it secret? No, it's in the census. But that is totally different from their original PDF plan. It's not the same groups.
Okay. All right, Tony, we're going to leave it there.
Look at the PDF and then compare it, and you'll find they're totally different.
All right. Thanks for calling us today, Tony. Appreciate your point of view. I want to go to Ian now. Ian, hello.
Hello there. I just thought I'd come on and explain to Tony and anybody else how you can access all the data he says the government's not giving. If you go to the government's coronavirus website, you'll find that one of the things there is gives you a table and bar charts of what's going on. You can open that up, you can enlarge it, and you can then use that table. It's an interactive table. But so, for example, it lists the main vaccines, AstraZeneca, Oxford, and the Pfizer vaccine. If you press on the Pfizer vaccine, it will show you the statistics purely for the Pfizer vaccine.
So this is at covid19.gov.im. Whereabouts on the website, did you say?
Right. If you look at the list of information on the website, when it comes to vaccinations, it gives a link there to what's effectively a table and bar charts of vaccinations so far. That lists number of first doses given, number of second doses given, number of first doses booked in the next 7 days, number of second doses in the next 7 days, total number of first doses booked, total number of second doses. It gives a rather more difficult to find detail by cohort, and you have to click on the little downward pointing V, and that opens it up and gives you the different age groups. If you click on the little box to the side of those age groups, that will then bring forth the information purely for that age groups. At the bottom, on the bottom left, there is a daily bar chart. If you click on any one of those bars, it will give you the breakdown figures for that day. If you've also clicked on, for example, the AstraZeneca button, it will tell you the number of that particular vaccine given that day. It will also tell you how many are booked for first doses of that vaccine in the next week, how many for this for the other. I'm not a fantastic supporter of the government, but I have to say there is all this information is in the public domain. It is not easy to use, and if you tried to write up what I've just said, it would take a long time, and you probably haven't, half your listeners probably haven't managed to follow what I've been saying.
I've been writing it all down, Ian. Thanks. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling us today. Good to talk to you. That's covid19.gov.im is the government website. And all the information is under vaccination information. Here's Sandra with us now. Hello, Sandra.
Hello. Mine's a simple thing. I asked you yesterday if you could find out an answer for us so that we didn't have to tie up the 111 line. The people at the vaccine centres... Yeah. Will they be wearing masks?
I put that question in yesterday. At the moment, I don't have an answer for you. So if anybody's been vaccinated, if they could tell us whether the people who are doing the vaccinating are wearing PPE. Is that what you're asking? Just gloves,
yes.
Gloves and masks?
Because the Center for Disease Control in America, they did a study, a huge study, with all kinds of scientific agencies, and they have shown categorically that wearing masks absolutely, incredibly increases or lowers the risk of transmission. In other words, if people were wearing masks, the incidence of transmission, of communicating this virus, would be reduced 70-80%.
Have you had your vaccination?
No, I'm waiting. I am 74 nearly, and I am waiting for an appointment.
Have you had a letter?
I've had a letter, but all the letter does is say, right, well, someone will call you to give you an appointment date. But I have had a letter. But the reason that I'm calling is my husband is in the extremely vulnerable category. He's had his first dose. He's due to go tomorrow for his second dose. We have been shielding virtually since March of last year. If you remember, I spoke to you early in the year about April, and I said that I would be willing to almost shield, do whatever it takes to keep us out of hospitals, to leave the hospitals for what it needs to be there for, to not put us at risk. Since last March, we've been doing this, and he has to go tomorrow for his second dose, and he would be putting himself, because last time when he went for his first dose, he wore his mask. No one else was wearing one. None of the people going or the, virtually, none of the staff were wearing them. He's gone to the hospital for treatment, and the staff there weren't wearing them, even when he said to the person, you know, the person said, what are you wearing that for? My husband's extremely variable. He's been in the hospital with pneumonia in the last few weeks. And this is terribly stressful when you're wanting to take all the precautions, doing what you can for over a year, and then you have to put yourself into a room where people are not wearing masks, and it's known that it's transmitted in the air.
Which hub is he going to?
The airport.
The airport, okay.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll get off the line because hopefully someone will call in and tell us, because all it said was that people at Nobles, the staff at Nobles now are wearing masks. But my husband's been to the hospital twice and been almost told that it's a waste of time, you're wearing a mask. I don't know why you've got your mask on.
What's your husband's name, Sandra?
They would not wear masks.
What's your husband's name?
John.
John, we wish you well. We wish John well. And I hope everything goes well tomorrow. And if you have been vaccinated, tell us, is everybody wearing PPE? Sandra, thanks for that call today. The man in line, it's 21 minutes before one.
Pacesetter, the longest established bathroom showroom on the island, for expert advice and bathroom solutions that work, with new innovations and designs, including the latest walk-in showers. From practical, accessible bathrooms for an aging generation to the ultimate in luxury, domestic or commercial. Pacesetter Tile and Bathroom Showroom. Search online for Pacesetter Douglas.
People of the Isle of Man, are you thinking of buying or selling a home? Well, wait! You need to talk to the conveyancing team at LVW Law. LVW Law! They've over 20 years of experience and know what they're talking about. They're friendly and efficient. Do not buy or sell a property without calling LVW Law on 836757 for a no-obligation quote. LVW Law.
For the time being, Pascos are closing our doors to keep in line with current government regulations and to protect all our customers and our team. But don't worry, we're still here for urgent replacements and can carry out contactless doorstep deliveries. Just leave a message on the showroom answer machine at 676066 or email pascos@manx.net. And as soon as we're able to reopen, Pascos will be ready to welcome you back in store. Stay safe from all of us at Pascos of Tremode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's day one of our third lockdown, second circuit breaker. I was at Chester Street on Monday. Everybody was wearing masks, says this correspondent. Another one saying Chester Street, everybody was wearing masks as well. I can't get my head right. If lockdown, then how come construction sites are still working with people coming and going? Well, it's a government exemption. The government have said construction can carry on. Margaret, good afternoon, Margaret.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm getting used to this now. How are you feeling about this lockdown?
Well, it has to be. This is what we've got to do. But I went on Saturday to the airport at for 9 o'clock in the morning to have my second jab. Now, everybody that was going in, including myself, was wearing a mask and gloves. But nobody in the airport giving the jabs was wearing mask or gloves. They were going in and out of one door, and only one out of 10 people used a sanitizer to open the door.
And that was the weekend, was it?
That was 9 o'clock on Saturday morning last week.
Wow.
Yes.
I just wonder whether anything's changed if all the people are saying that Chester Street, everybody was wearing masks yesterday.
Well, who's to say? I mean, I was pleased with with everything that was going on. And I mean, I was just sat there waiting afterwards. And because I was just sat there, I was noticing everything that was going on. But yes, I was very surprised.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Margaret. Good to talk to you on the Man in Line today. We've got John. Hello, John.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, hello. John. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Andy. I have three points to make. Number one, the basic reason why we're in this problem now is because of one steam packet person, apparently. And Mr. Quayle doesn't feel that there's any need to pursue any witch hunt, as he calls it. There can only be, as far as I can see, there can only be two reasons for this. One reason, the steam packet individual defied the directive. Or the other reason, whoever in government, presumably highly educated, wrote up the directive itself, it was ambiguous. And one, furthermore, you would have imagined that someone would have checked his draft before it was put out. So to say that no one's to blame is ridiculous. That someone is to blame, they've cost the economy, they've cost the health of the nation, the livelihood of the nation. And I just can't accept that Howard Quayle thinks that no one should be witch hunted.
Do you think that maybe now is not the time to get to the bottom of it, but do you think at some point
all
in the future...
Is that he should say in due course we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the second one, and only this morning I finally got through 1111. I'm 74. I finally got through 1111, and I was told I had it confirmed what I suspected, that the reason why I couldn't get through it all day yesterday and for a long time this morning was because they send out the letters as a weekly tranche. So on Monday morning, 2,000 to 3,000 letters go out in the post, so 2,000 to 3,000 people are trying to get in at once. You would imagine that if you have a pile of 2,000 letters, you would separate them into four, say, and send 500 on Monday, 500 on Tuesday, and stagger it.
I actually checked this out with the government. They said the last letters for people between 70 and 74 were sent on Monday, March the 1st. You would think they'd stagger it out.
Well, of course you would. The lady at the other end on 111 said, oh, it's absolute bedlam here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no thought, there's no planning, there's nothing there. And that's why the system crashes. And that's why a guy can't ring 111 and get through to put someone else's. And the final point that I have to make is on the wait list. I have a problem with my eyes. I had an eye appointment that was scheduled for 4 months hence. And in mid-January, my eyes were deteriorating rather quickly. I rang up and asked if I could have an earlier appointment, and said, no, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait your turn, in effect, which I understand. But I said, could I not be put on a wait list? They said, we don't have a wait list. I said, I can't believe that. I know for a fact that people don't turn up. They, for whatever reason, they forget. Perhaps they die. Perhaps they're in another ward, injured. But people don't turn up. And to not have a wait list seems stupid. So I wrote to Minister Ashley, and I suggested that if you employed someone in the health service to generate wait lists that could be sent out to each on each section, like eye appointments in this instance for the injections. If you could get one person, how much time would that save?
And money as well, John, because presumably you're hiring these consultants on a daily rate.
Yeah, no, you'd be hiring them as clerical staff. You'd hire someone on clerical staff to monitor wait lists.
Okay. All right, John, thanks for that. You made your points. Thanks for being with us today. I want to go to Jill now. Hello, Jill.
Hello. Just about the lady that phoned earlier on about the concern for her husband going down to the airport for his vaccination.
Yeah.
I was down there on the 21st of February for mine, and it was amazing. The whole staff were very good, very polite, all had masks on, everything was smooth, and credit due to all the staff down there. That's all.
Okay. So you're happy with that, all the service there?
Absolutely. They did a fantastic job. They were amazing.
Okay. All right, Jill.
All of the staff down there, amazing.
Thanks for being with us today on The Man in Line. Good to hear from you. It's 12 minutes to 1. Text 166177, email studio at maxradio.com or call 661368. Lockdown, number 3, day 1.
Call the UPVC window specialists, Phoenix Windows, for quality windows, doors and conservatories, along with fascias, soffits, barge boards, guttering and all building work undertaken. With free estimates, free surveys, guaranteed work and all island coverage. Phoenix Windows don't use standard off-the-shelf frames. Their windows are made to measure, which means you get a perfect fit, less bulky frames and more glazing. Call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
Together, we can prevent suicide. But would you know what to do if a friend, colleague or loved one needed help? With an assist course from St John Ambulance, you could learn the skills to intervene and help someone stay safe. Your knowledge could be the difference between a life lost and a life saved. Learn life-supporting applied suicide intervention skills on a St John Ambulance assist course. For more information, call St John Ambulance on 674 387.
For pizza, I settle for nothing less than the best. Pizza Napoli, with their wood-fired oven pizza that cooks in just 90 seconds once they've made it up. Nothing frozen, nothing microwaved. It makes me feel like I'm here in Italia, eating a delicious, authentic tasting pizza in a cobbled square with music and...
Did you order from Pizza Napoli again?
It's free contactless delivery over £15. Call Douglas 813 100. Pizza Napoli in Ramsey and Douglas.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 10 to 1 now and Jack's with us. Hello, Jack.
Hi, sorry, I'm just laughing there. Your previous caller was called Jill, and I'm Jack. I can assure you, we're not related.
Don't go up that hill.
No, I'm not in my condition. I have a slight explanation of why 70 plus years are not getting the letters and the times that they should have.
Yeah.
Now, I've had this problem. I'm 79, and my wife and I, we got the letters. You ring up. You get a date. They ring you back with a date and a time. But they only rang my wife back. And she said, well, can both my husband and I go to the airport where we have to go together to have them done? And she said, no, your husband is on the housebound list. So I came on the phone to her and said, well, how can I be on the housebound list? She said, oh, I've no idea. Somebody must have filled the forms in wrong at their end, not my end. I said, no, well, I gave you the information from myself and the wife. We're both exactly the same. She said, oh, don't worry, it's happened before this. We'll put you down together. So fair enough. And we had our jabs. In fact, funnily enough, we're going back tomorrow to have the second one. So that may be an explanation of why some 70-year-old people are not having their dates and times offered to them. I never heard of this housebound list, but correct. Apparently you're sort of at the back of the list then. Housebound people are well down the list of the vaccinations.
So you're going for your second one when?
Tomorrow.
Oh, well. Okay. And your wife's not called Jill, is she?
No, she's called Brenda, God bless her.
Okay. All right, thanks.
She is beginning to worry if there's something going on. We're only corresponding on the Manx radio now.
Okay. All right, thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Good to talk to you. Ken now on the Man in Line. Hello, Ken.
Good afternoon. Just to let you know, the wife and I, who are both 65, got our letters this morning to phone 111, and they were posted on Tuesday. And the 111 line, very busy, I presume, 24 minutes before you get through. But you just hang on, don't you?
What did you do for 24 minutes?
Did my laptop, something on my laptop.
So it's all sorted then, Ken, yeah?
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for a phone call back, see if the wife and I can go together. But I'm going to have a rant now about the steam packet. Did anybody ever check that the English crew were self-isolating when they went ashore in England? Two, are we sure that somebody hasn't been mixing with somebody that's been isolating or should be isolating, and they don't want to tell the truth, because if you tell the truth, two of you are going to Derby Hilton. And I remember months ago, somebody did say perhaps we're being too severe about locking people up because you need to get to the truth. And perhaps people aren't getting interrogated right because they know what's going to happen to them, and perhaps they should have some sort of deal. You know, tell us where have you been so we can get to the bottom of the recent case. And I can't understand how they can't do.
So do you think we're ever going to get to the bottom of this, Ken?
Well, I'd have thought, you know, if you employ the right people, surely that... I'm not talking about interrogating people, but, you know, trying to get them to say where they've been and any illicit sort of romances that have been going on, which I can't believe haven't been going on since a year.
Mm.
Anyway, that's the end of my rant. Okay.
Okay. All right, Ken. Cheers. Thanks for being with us today. It's 6 minutes before one. Well, the news about the letters is, you're quite right, at ages 65 to 69, letters have started going out from today, and they should be all sent by the 12th of March. The 12th of March, they should all be sent. Betty, hello, Betty.
Oh, hi. Is that Andy?
It is. Is that Betty?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, we're together on the air.
Actually, I just wanted to ask a question, not particularly of you, but of whoever's responsible. I just wondered why it is that the hospital doesn't... Well, they sent me a letter for 7 months in advance for an appointment, but they didn't send any letter nearer the time. And I just think that they might... people might not have noticed that they were due for an appointment, and that they might lose people taking their appointments that way.
So they sent you one for how far out?
7 months beforehand.
7 months and nothing until?
And nothing at all afterwards.
And did you go to the appointment, Betty?
I didn't actually go because I wasn't feeling well on that day, but I would have gone because I had put it up on my fridge. But I think a lot of people, particularly older people, might forget that they had an appointment 7 months in advance and therefore might not attend.
Okay. All right, Betty, thanks for calling today.
Okay, thank you. One more thing, Andy.
Yeah.
When I went for my vaccines at Chester Street, everybody was wearing a mask.
Well, that's great. Which vaccine did you have there?
The Pfizer one.
Okay. Betty, thanks for being with us today. I appreciate your calling.
Okay, thank you.
4 minutes to one, that's about it. Lots and lots and lots and lots of texts that I haven't had a chance to get into. I had both jabs at the airport in February. Very friendly, very helpful, very efficient. Both time, everybody wore gloves and mask, along with those attending, says Helen as well. I had my jab on Monday at Chester Street. Everybody wore masks and had to sanitise. A couple who arrived at the same time as me had no masks, but were given masks. And that's Robbie with a report from Chester Street as well. Masks have been questioned for so long, says Andy. If everybody stopped questioning the government about masks and make the intelligent decision themselves, wear a mask whenever there's a chance of COVID being in the community. Don't wait for lockdown. Use your judgment, says Andy. The letters are sent to the post office, apparently. They deliver so many every day, so apparently they are staggered. It's just that they've all been sent out. The 70 to 74-year-olds, clinically and extremely vulnerable people, the last 1,500 letters were dispatched on Monday. So the priority groups move on. 65 to 69 years of age, nothing so far for ages 60 to 64 with underlying conditions or the other age ranges. But, the one thing to remember is, first of all, to thank Barry Redfern for producing today. And 4 o'clock today, live on Manx Radio, is the next update. Take care.